And our speaker for this series this week, every evening through Friday, is Boyd Sellers of Avon, Indiana, and a member of the Avon Heights congregation. Brother Sellers has preached the gospel for many years. Several of us have heard him in the past, and we're looking forward to his lessons from God's word. At this time, we're going to go to God in prayer, and after the prayer, we will turn the rest of the time over to Brother Sellers. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you at this time, mindful of our dependence on you for all things, and we thank you for this medium by which we can study together from your word, and we ask that you be with Brother Sellers and help him to be effective in teaching us your word and to present the things that he studied over so much time. And we thank you for him and ask that you'll continue to protect him through this time as well. And we pray for all the members of the church that we'll take advantage of this means of study and bring honor and glory to you. And we thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You're on mute.
You'll need to unmute yourself there, Boyd.
So now, Boyd, now I'm unmuted, okay? Yep. I hope I don't have any more of those. I really appreciate the prayer. And like Moses told Joshua, I've not been this way before. You all have not either. But it is the next best thing, it is the next best thing. So I appreciate the prayer. I appreciate you all's prayers. And I appreciate you all, and I'm thankful to be able to be with you in this, and hopeful, as Carl prayed, that the things that we study will be of a blessing and a benefit to all of us. I want to begin by reading in Matthew, the 13th chapter, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, just a brief article. Pilate could wash his hands, but he could not wash Jesus' blood off his conscience. We cannot be neutral about Christ. We're either for him or against him, and there is no middle ground. Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me," Matthew 12:30. Jesus is God's spokesman to man today. God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Hebrews 1:1-2. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5. Jesus is our perfect example. Christ left us an example that we should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, 1 Peter 2:21-22. Jesus is man's only Savior, Matthew 1:21. When Jesus stands before you, you do not just pass him off with a shrug of the shoulders. You have to make a decision that affects your soul, judgment, and eternity. Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day." John 12:48. I just want to talk about the subject that deals with our value system, and our priorities. In other words, I want to be thinking about this, and I want you to be thinking about it too. But what is really valuable to me? What is the most valuable thing in the world to me? What's the most valuable thing in the world to you? And to sort of get it down to where I want it, is being a Christian a pearl of great price? Is being a Christian like a pearl that is so very valuable? What are my priorities? What are your priorities? Now, I'm going to begin this way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, you've just been talking with them about the necessities of life, food, clothing, shelter, and so forth. And then he makes this statement, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Later in Luke 14, 25 to 27, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he says in verse 33, so then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. This is a picture of complete self-sacrifice and giving oneself over to the Lord. Matthew 16, 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I just want to ask this question. Do you ever wonder how that fits passages like Revelation 22, 17? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who wills take the water of life without cost. And sometimes we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. And so we ask the question in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we sort of emphasize those words, free and gift. In other words, how can something be free if it costs me everything I own? I mean, even my own self. Now, I believe that Jesus' kingdom parables in Matthew 13 help us to see clearly the value of the kingdom. And at the same time, I think those parables help us to answer that question. And that's the direction I want to head. Now, a little bit of background. I think it's interesting that people who lived at that time looked at pearls like we look at diamonds. In other words, they consider them to be extremely precious. And there were all kinds of mysterious explanations given about how they were formed, and fabulous sums were paid to possess them. Merchants scoured the world in search of beautiful pearls, and that gave Jesus the perfect illustration of a man's search for the ultimate, of a person's looking for that which is the most important thing in the world. And in other words, What is the highest good to me? What do you long for with all of your being? What would you give everything you own in order to have? Now, again, those parables, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, first of all, talking about the message of the parables, and the fact is, the message of the two parables is the same. The men in both parables see the great worth of what they have found, and the result is, and it is an interesting picture, because they don't hesitate at all to go home, sell everything they have in order to possess it. And the fact is, you can see they're anxious about it. And the man who found the treasure in the field from joy goes and sells all that he has. And it just looks like they're afraid that they're going to miss the opportunity. Now, what's interesting about this is you don't have to twist their arm to get them to act. In fact, they move with joyful abandon, someone has said, and just thinking of what I have to give up in order to have this seem to be completely lost in their understanding of the value of what they are getting. I think it's important. Jesus' point is exactly that. The kingdom of heaven costs all we possess, Luke 14:33, but it is the highest good, the incomparable treasure. In other words, it is the ultimate. And the joy of obtaining the kingdom completely erases any sense of loss. If we can see that, I think it's also important just to notice that there is a difference, to be sure, in the earthly story and the heavenly meaning. There's a difference in the earthly story and the heavenly meaning, and there's a difference in the parable and its application. And in other words, the merchant, for example, is trading physical possessions for physical pearls. And the man wanting to buy the field is after a physical treasure. He wants this physical treasure. And the point is, for the person striving to be a Christian, looking for the kingdom, the trade is actually better, if we can see that. Now, ours is a trade of physical, temporal things for spiritual, eternal things. And it takes faith to see the value of spiritual things. Now, I want to emphasize that. It takes faith to see the value in spiritual things. And in other words, we can have opportunity to be everything the Lord wants us to be. We can talk about how valuable that is, but if faith is not a part of our lives, we're not going to see the value of spiritual things over the physical possessions that we have. In other words, if we only have a materialistic, physical concept of worth and value, we will never be aware of true value. And we'll always be trading things of real value for that which is only temporary. We'll be using our time. We'll be using our talents. We'll be using our possessions, our family, and all of those things will go by the wayside because we are failing to see and be aware of true value. And as a result, we'll always be trading that which is eternal for that which soon evaporates and passes away. Listen to 1 John 2:15-17. John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so, being a follower of Jesus costs us everything we have. In other words, it requires total devotion. Jesus requires total devotion of us, absolute surrender. Everything we own belongs to God. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus often dealt with this subject. He often talked about the cost of discipleship. And one reason he did that is he didn't want anybody to be disillusioned about following him. Do you remember the stories in Luke 9:57-58? And I picture this fella as a young man, but he runs up to Jesus and he said, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." And I don't think Jesus is trying to discourage him at all. Jesus' response says, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head." again, I don't think Jesus is trying to discourage him, but he wants that young man to know, to realize what he is saying. When he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he, what he wants is total surrender in that person. Again, in Luke 14:26, Jesus' language is even plainer. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers, sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And this is an amazing statement. But again, that's absolute loyalty to God, to Jesus. In other words, the person who becomes a follower of Jesus has to give up everything for his sake. Matthew 16:24-25. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, he says. Now, this, and I can picture folks asking the question, how in the world can this be? I mean, here's a kingdom given as a gift. It is pure grace. It's free. How then can it cost so much? How is it that it costs me everything I have? And I just know of folks who have questioned, could it ever be worth that to me? Could it ever be worth everything to me, giving up everything for? And I've had people to say, I'm having too much fun. I'll try to do that later on. But I'll tell you the answer to that. In the first place, it's important for us again to be aware of the fact that the incomparable worth of the kingdom of heaven puts it far beyond our ability to purchase. And somebody's made the point that when God gives sinful men, and he's referring to us, when God gives sinful men what we have no right to and what we don't deserve and what we have no ability to obtain, that has to be grace. That has to be a gift. That has to be free. And the fact is that is the only way that it can be ours. But again, the interesting thing about that free gift is that only those who yield themselves completely to the reign of God can possess that gift. And again, it's important to recognize that the cost of discipleship is not some sort of a checklist that you go over. In other words, the cost of discipleship is not giving up a certain number of things. I've known people who had the idea before they're willing to obey the gospel, they're wondering about the number of things they have to give up. But the cost of discipleship is not about giving up a certain number of things. It is about checking our affection for things. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So, and the cost of discipleship is not giving up certain people in our lives. And again, I just have known folks who have had to give up relationships in their lives in order to become Christians, in order to turn their lives over to the Lord. But again, it is not giving up certain people in our lives. It is about refusing to put those people before the Lord in our lives. And again, the cost of discipleship is not about turning down a certain number of positions, pleasures, and so forth. Rather, it is about refusing to allow those positions, pleasures, and things to be our first love. In other words, all of this is about putting Jesus first in our lives before anything or anybody else. In other words, to claim Christ as our King, he has to be, in Paul's words, Colossians 3:11, all and in all. In other words, all that we are and possess have to be made to serve him. But there's another consideration. Now, it's true that Jesus in these parables speaks of the cost of the kingdom, but that is not his main point. In other words, Jesus doesn't call us by telling us how expensive it's going to be to follow him. Instead, he calls us with the joys of following him. He calls us with the worth of disciple. He talks about the worth of discipleship. It's like a treasure found in a field. It's like a pearl of great price. And the point is, the men in the parables gave up everything they possessed, not because they had convinced themselves that they were going to get some pleasure out of depriving themselves. And the reason that they gave up everything they possessed is because they found something so superior that it made their present possessions seem like nothing. And I'll tell you, Paul is such an example of what I'm trying to say in all of this in Philippians 3, verses 4 through 8. Listen to Paul. Again, Philippians 3, 4 through 8. He says, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. In other words, he has, as a Jew, he has credentials that are greater than most Jews. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But, he says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And then he says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Now, you can just see the things that at one time had been so important to Paul in his life as a Jew. He really stood out. He said those are like trash. They are like rubbish. And now, this is interesting, I think it's important. This was not a teeth-gritting exercise in self-denial either. This is his reaction to the transcendent worth of Jesus Christ. Now, listen again to what he said in verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Now, again, also, listen to his powerful words in Colossians 2 and verse 3. He said, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 and verse 9, in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form. Colossians 3 and verse 11, Christ is all and in all, he says. And the point is, Paul saw the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, and he could never again be content with this world's imitations. There's an old saying that that I have thought a lot of, but it just says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And Paul's saying more than just that in those words, but he illustrates that finding that treasure in the field and finding that pearl of great price. Now I want to just look at how the two parables are different. Now, the man who found the treasure in the field discovered it completely by accident. And again, the text says he was surprised by joy. The merchant, on the other hand, was seriously looking for a precious pearl. And he seems excited that he found what he was looking for. However, he was searching. And so one of them found a treasure by accident. The other found the pearl he was searching for. And I think that we can see a lesson from that about our attitude toward evangelism and our attitude toward bringing others to the Lord. On the one hand, do you ever wonder, for example, where we can find prospects for the kingdom of heaven. And again, these two parables give us the answer, or they illustrate that. On the one hand, prospects will be earnest souls who are searching for that pearl. And men like the Ethiopian eunuch, for example, coming from worship in Jerusalem, reading Isaiah 53, Philip was able to teach him. Or a Cornelius in Acts 10, devout, God-fearing, generous, prayerful. He was searching for that which the world could never offer him. Now, on the other hand, though, prospects will also often be found among those who show absolutely no sign of spiritual concern. They may even be living immoral lives and not really interested at all in anything except living day by day. I think the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well in John 4 illustrates that. Before it was all over, though, she had the whole town interested in what Jesus had to say. As she had come to get water, she wasn't interested. Of course, she noticed Jesus there, was surprised when he spoke to her. But before this is all over, again, she has the whole town, her whole village, interested in what Jesus had to say. And so the lesson is prospects are people who are lost in sin, in need of the Lord, who are waiting for a faithful disciple of the one who came to seek and save the lost. They need light that we have the ability to provide. We can help them. There was an article called The Pearl of Great Price, illustrated from Juan Carlos Ortiz, and you may have been familiar with it, but it is a modern picture of seeking pearls, or a modern picture of seeking the treasure found in the field. And it's actually a dialogue between people. A man and his wife are in a jewelry store, and they're looking at the jewelry that's there, and he finds this pearl. And so here's the discussion. He says, "I want this pearl. How much is it?" And the salesman looks at him and he said, it's very expensive." "But how much?" we ask. "Well, a very large amount," he answers. "Well, do you think we can afford to buy it?" "Oh," he says, "of course, anybody can afford to buy this pearl." And then he says, you've got me puzzled now. Didn't you say it was very expensive?" "Yes, very expensive." "Well, how much is it?" And he looks at the fellow wanting to buy. He said, "It's everything you have. It'll cost you everything you have." And the fellow looks at his wife and he says, "Beautiful pearl, do we want to spend that much?" And we make up our minds and we say, all right, we'll buy this." And the man sits down at a table with a paper and a pencil. He says, "Well, tell me what you have." He just wants to know. We'll write it down, he says. "Well, we have $10,000 in the bank," he says. "Good, $10,000, the salesman says. "What else do you have?" "What do you mean, what else do I have? That's all I have," he says. "You mean you have nothing more?" "Well, I have a few dollars in my pocket." "Well, how much do you have?" "Well, we start digging. Let's see, $30, $40, $50, $60, $100, $120. "That's fine," he says, and he writes that down. "What else do you have?" "Well, nothing. That's all." And he asks, "Where do you live?" He's still probing. "Well, I live in my house." "Yes, we have a house." "Oh, the house too, then." He writes that down. "You mean I'm going to have to live in my camper?" "Oh, you have a camper." "That too. What else do you have?" "Well, I guess I'll have to sleep in my car." "Oh, you have a car." "Well, we have two of them. Both become mine. Both cars. What else do you have?" Well, you already have my money, my house, my camper, my cars. What more do you want? Well, are you alone in the world? No, I have a wife and two children. Oh, yes, he says, your wife and children too. What else do you have? I have nothing else. I am left alone now. Suddenly, the seller exclaims, oh, I almost forgot. You yourself too. Everything becomes mine. Wife, children, house, money, cars, and you too. And then he goes on. Now listen, I will allow you to use all these things for the time being, but don't forget that they are mine, just as you are mine. And whenever I need any of them, you must give them up, because now I am the owner. The cost of discipleship, everything belongs to God. Now, you think about what's really valuable to you, and where are your priorities? Where are our priorities? What does being a Christian mean to you? Is it a pearl of great price? Is it like this treasure hidden in a field? Is it a joy for you to sacrifice everything in order to serve others? If not, it is probably because you have never surrendered self. Now, just think about this for a minute. Your life is being spent on something. Our lives, each of us have to look at that. Your life is being spent on something. Is it being spent on things that will last through eternity? Is it being spent on things that will last beyond the grave? Isaac Watts wrote the song, When I Survey, in our songbooks. Verse 1 says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. And verse 4, were the whole realm of nature mine, in other words, if everything belonged to me, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Coming to Jesus is worth more than anything we could ever have in this world. So we would tell folks that are thinking about the Bible and thinking about their soul to come to Jesus. Give yourself to him. Give yourself totally to him. Amen.
We'd like to thank Boyd for his lesson this evening. Gives you a little taste of what we're going to be receiving throughout the balance of the week. We hope everybody will be able to be with us throughout the week. We're going to meet at 7 o'clock p.m. every night. The link that Randy has sent out should be good throughout the entire week. It's the same link for every night, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Again, Boyd, thank you so very much this evening, and we will close with a word of prayer. Randy, would you please lead us in that prayer?
Dear Father, Father, we are so grateful for all the blessings that you have given to us. Father, you have blessed us so richly, just in the everyday necessities, but ultimately you gave us your own son to die for us, and it is his atoning blood that saves us from our own sins. We are so undeserving of that gift, Father, but we are so grateful. Father, we are thankful for the message we've heard tonight. We pray, Father, that we would make that application to our life as needed. We pray, Father, that we would understand that we need to be a full sacrifice of ourselves to you if we're going to attain that wonderful, wonderful reward of being with you in heaven. Father, we pray that we would understand that this sacrifice requires everything from us, and that everything that we do in our life should be to the glory of you. Father, we do pray that you'd be with us the rest of this week. We look forward to further lessons from your word. And we pray, Father, not only would we be attentive of what Boyd tells us, but again, we would make those applications as needed to our life. We pray, Father, that whatever we do, we will always strive to improve ourselves. And Father, we pray that one of the most important commandments is that we love you and we love our neighbor and we love our brethren as well. Father, we pray that you would be with those of our number that are sick. We pray that you'd be with those that are fighting the effects of old age and fibromyalgia and other chronic illnesses. And we pray that you would be with those who have short-term illnesses, that they would recover from those. And Father, we especially pray that you would be with those of our number that have left their first love, have turned their back on you willingly, and have returned to the world. We pray, Father, that something can be said or done, that they would have a change of heart before it is everlastingly too late. We are mindful, Father, that the world and Satan is so strong and powerful and so tempting, but we know, Father, that no one can be tempted by him unless they allow it. Father, we also pray that you would be with husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, help them to be the kind of spouse or the kind of a parent that they need to be. Help them to lead their children, not just by word, but by their example. And Father, we pray that you would be with those children, that they would have tender hearts, and that they would come to become a faithful child of yours. And we pray, Father, that you would help them to keep them from temptation that might lead them away. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for all of our sins, and that you would be merciful to us who are sinners. In your son's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Now, you have to know that all of my lessons are not gonna be that short.
So, well, like I told you when we were at Avon last.
Yeah, you told
preach
me.
Preach till you're done and quit. That's fine.
That was very good, Boyd. Thank you.
Thank you.
So as Tom mentioned, I'm not going to send out an invite every day. That link that I sent out, it should be fine throughout the rest of the week. In fact, that's the same link that I send out on Wednesday night for our worship service. So with me being the host, that's my link. So it should never change. So let me know if there's any issues with that.
Okay. Do you know if anybody had any problem with hearing, or were there any difficulties with the Zoom? Or
so you were fine. You were fine with us. There were two short periods when the screen went a little bit smaller, and it said then this little note said that that network buffering is weak or something like that. And so I don't know if that was just us, if that happened to other people, but
we didn't see that.
Okay, but I mean but the audio was fine.
Okay,
except for that, the video was fine too. So I know that you've got some PowerPoint presentations coming too, though. So we'll see how that goes. But
yeah, okay. Tomorrow night I'll have some PowerPoint presentations that I hope will be helpful too.
Good. Good to see Caxton and Judy online tonight. Caxton, we missed you this morning. Hope you're feeling a little better. Can't hear you. You're muted.
I can't unmute. Just give a thumbs up.
There we go.
Yeah, nice way. Bye.
Yep. Adam, who do you have to your left?
I had to find my unmute button. Holly and Jackson. Garland went down a little bit earlier.
Oh, okay.
Jackson's here, kind of climbing all over.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Jackson.
A little bit at the camera.
Hi, Jackson.
Oh, he's looking at the TV. I have it broadcasting to the TV.
Oh, okay.
No, Adam, we did that way back with the Wednesday thing. And I feared that everybody would assume that we're not paying attention because the camera was at one angle and we're all looking at a different direction. So, yes, we were watching TV. We are watching the screen.
Yeah, so to compensate, I look at the screen. I look at my laptop. So it looks like we're paying attention.
So, Boyd, I don't know if you know, but Adam is one of our other three sons. I don't know that you've met him before, but
no, I don't think I've met Adam, but I knew he was up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People say they see a resemblance between him and Joshua. We don't see it, but
funny. I don't get it.
Are you doing it, Jackson?
Well, I'll tell you, Joshua is—he just has a mind. I work with him in different projects, especially in dealing with some other people, and when he explains something. It just takes him almost a book to get that explained sometimes I just have to tell him give me the short version of this.
He's kind of the opposite of Luke, who can go really quickly, and Josh is, it's the tortoise and hare type of thing.
Yeah.
We get it. He's been like that his whole life.
So, Boyd, I sent Luke and Misha, I emailed the link for this week's meeting this afternoon. And I said, hey, I understand you guys don't get to hear Boyd very often. Well, you're more than welcome to join our little get-together this week. And yeah. I don't think they joined. You may want to have a talk with them about that.
Well, they don't get to hear me very much, and they may like that. So, I may have to remind Luke to spread the word.
There you go.
Yeah,
so I'm sure you're looking forward to your new full-time preacher coming in the first of the year. That'll be good.
You really are. Yeah. Not sure exactly when they'll be coming. We're kind of hoping school will actually be out sometime shortly after Thanksgiving, I'm thinking. However, they'll still have classes by way of Zoom or some other medium. But
yeah.
So we're kind of hoping that they might be with us before the end of the world, before the end of the world, for sure.
How is Christy doing? I'd heard that she had been diagnosed with.
She did fine. She really had it pretty bad, but she was able to get over that completely. She just said she just felt. Like she just couldn't go.
Yeah.
She had headaches. I don't think she had any fever, but she just could not go, didn't have any energy. but she's completely over that now.
Good.
One of the big problems that we're having here is finding, they're looking for a house here. And right now, houses go up for sale and they're sold before the day is out. And so she's coming up to look around and try to figure out what they can latch on to.
Well, that's what Josh and Rachel were struggling with. And, it took them so long to find the house that they ended up getting. But Yeah, they were very frustrated with that. I mean, you know, they'd catch wind and it'd be too late already, you know, almost. So,
well, they find something. They really, the folks, we know the folks that they bought from.
Yes.
And that's really yeah. a nice house.
Yeah.
It's small, but they don't need anything big yet, do they?
No, not yet. Not that we know of.
Okay, well.
So we're going to drop off and we will see everyone tomorrow night.
Okay. I'm going home too.
Okay.
I'll be back with you, Randy, tomorrow. I may be a little early.
Yeah,
because I want to make sure the PowerPoint works.
Yeah, so I will start it at 20 till for sure. Okay. But if you wanted to get together an hour or two before and just do a kind of a dry run, that's fine as well, because the link's always open. So just let me know if you want to get together in the afternoon or something. That would be okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that there won't be necessary. What we did last week confirmed to me that that was going to work. So
it looked good. Okay. So tomorrow, I think, is that intro to biblical counseling?
Yes, during the week, I'm going to do a couple of lessons dealing with biblical counseling, but the one I'm going to do tomorrow, I call it just introduction to biblical counseling. And you've heard, I guess, most of that in the mob study, but probably this would be a refresher for you. I will be dealing with biblical counseling tomorrow night.
Okay, great.
Okay. Well, it's good to be with you all. Appreciate you a lot, and looking forward then tomorrow night.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Boyd.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you all.